Welcome back to the Morning Skate here on 90.7 The Capstone. Seth Juniak joined by the Andrews, Claire, and Wallace. We're about 30 minutes into good hockey talk. 37 minutes, I guess, if you want to get technical. But we're getting into it, and it's been fun. And so now we get to the especially fun stuff with Team USA in the Olympics. Men's hockey, the tournament's coming up, and there's lots to talk about as far as that is concerned. Just kind of open it up to you guys. Are you excited? You going to watch some Olympics?
Oh, man. I've said before on my student section on Friday that Olympic hockey has got to be my favorite Olympic sport. And I'll tell you why. It's because each and every year you have a very diverse group of athletes. Obviously, the NHL is the prominent hockey league in the world. But there's a very diverse group of athletes. But see, you can argue with that. That's why it's diverse. Yeah, you could definitely argue with it. I'm just saying I think most people think that. But my point being, it's a very diverse group of athletes that all have different skill sets and come in. You can't really say that with most other team sports. I mean, you think about baseball, obviously Japan and Cuba have two very good professional leagues. But with hockey, I think that there's the most diversity in terms of professional athletes coming in and playing.
Yeah, you know, I got my alarm set 6:30 a.m. Thursday morning against Slovakia on NBC. I'm excited for that. But yeah, look at these guys. They got what, 5 days, 4 days to really prep and get ready.
The first game is the 12th, I believe.
I thought the U.S. game, the first U.S. game's on.
The first Olympic hockey game altogether. The Czech Republic and Russia play.
And we'll be watching that because the U.S. has Russia.
Yeah, so. that's the pool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, how many teams you know you get 3 days to really prepare? You know, the U.S.'s first practice is going to be Monday night.
Yeah, and one of the things, especially as an NHL fan, that I love about the Olympics is that it's an all-star game.
Yeah.
It's an all-star game where people are actually trying, and, you know, and you even look at the NHL all-star game in the seasons that there aren't Olympics. I mean, even those are kind of interesting just because you've got the game's most talented players playing against, you know, five more of the team's most talented players. And that's one of the things that makes me excited about the Olympic hockeys is that for some players, playing in the Olympics is more important than anything else. You know, especially with Russia. You know, Alexander Ovechkin has especially been rather candid, saying that I want to play for Russia. I'm representing my home country, and it's in my home country. This is more important than a Stanley Cup for me. He may not have actually said that, but it's definitely implied, and we wouldn't blame him.
And the media is kind of labeling Ilya Kovalchuk as the villain of this year's Olympic hockey. Obviously, the story behind him most hockey fans are familiar with, but the average person maybe not. He was formerly a Devil and then went over to the KHL because he just missed home. He wanted his family to have that Russian upbringing, and he turned down a lot of money.
He walked away from $100 million.
Whoa. I don't know if I could have done that. So I don't know how you can label him the villain, but obviously the United States will be playing against him, and he kind of spurned our country in terms of playing for our professional sport.
For Russia, I'm really excited to see the Magic, man. Pavel Datsyuk, he was named captain for Russia. He's never been a captain in the NHL before, always with Detroit with Nick Lindstrom and now Henrik Zetterberg. I'm excited to see Datsyuk try to carry that team, but the only one criticism of them is, you know, they're real fast. Russian players don't really grind out. It's going to be really interesting to see if they can get physical in this Olympic tournament.
And I disagree. The ice sheet is bigger, and they'll have more room to dance away from players. And instead of focusing on just Datsyuk, I want to look at that, you know, just those Russian top six. In that top six, you will have Pavel Datsyuk, like you said, Alexander Ovechkin, Evgeny Malkin, and that's three of the top five players in the world, I'm well convinced, in just those top six forwards. And that's why Russia, I think, is a team that they're not entering this tournament as the favorite. That's usually Sweden or Canada, depending on who you ask. But Russia will probably score 7 goals a game.
Yeah, and Tereschenko, very talented. And also Tarasenko, obviously the guy I've mentioned before, and Semin. Those are not bad guys to have backing up on second or third lines.
No, not at all. And that's all before mentioning Bobrovsky and Semyon Varlamov in net. Just a Russian team. There are holes on defense. Obviously, that's why none of the players we've mentioned are defensemen. But right. But still, Russia's a team. But I really want to focus on the Team USA here because we are Americans, proud of it. God bless America and whatever. But
roll America.
Roll America. Exactly.
America.
Exactly. I just want to talk about the Olympic roster. You know, obviously, we kind of know who's going to go, and, you know, there's no more talk about snubs. This is the team we've got, and it's time to embrace it. Like the president, it doesn't matter who it is, we just got to embrace him. At least that's how I feel. So, with that being said, let's just kind of break down the rosters. So, starting with you, Claire, Mr. Claire, that sounds better.
Elite.
let's kind of talk about the forwards. How do the forwards come off to you?
I like the forwards. You know, Max Pacioretty's really, you know, the other night had a very big game for Montreal, and he's kind of started to get into his own, you know. A lot of returning guys from the 2010 team, you know, Parisi, Pavelski, Stastny, you know, and then you got Ryan Callahan as well, and then Patty Kane. Patty Kane's going to be very big storyline for me, you know, his grandfather just died, you know, how is he gonna, the emotions of that gonna bring him into Sochi? He just missed the last couple Blackhawk games to attend his grandfather's funeral. That's gonna be very interesting for me, you know, and then you got guys like Derek Stefan and James Van Riemsdyk and Blake Wheeler in their first Olympic games.
I'm a Pacioretty fan. I think he's a guy that's kind of a little bit lesser known, not quite as respected, and kind of similar to TJ Oshie. And yeah, not a lot of people think of him in terms of being able to play defense, but TJ Oshie can play some phenomenal defense. He's a two-way guy. David Backes, another St. Louis Blues. If the listeners are getting tired of my Blues knowledge, I really do love the Blues. Let me just relay that to you. But really? I think he's the best defensive center in the game. And Phil Kessel, he's the best finisher on this team. He's going to score when he has the opportunity to score. He's going to get the puck in the slot, and he's going to make things happen. He can also outshoot most people, I think, on these Olympic rosters.
I was going to say, I bet Bruin fans right now are kicking themselves for that, you know, that Kessel trade. Everyone thought, you know, Kessel wasn't doing anything in Toronto and Sagan. Now Sagan's gone, and Dougie Hamilton really hasn't shined yet for Boston, and Kessel's been, you know, a phenom for Toronto.
Yeah, and even Ryan Kessler. None of you guys mentioned Ryan Kessler. You know, the Ryan Kessler is maybe not as much of a sniper, as you know, a finisher, as Kane and or Sharp. As Sharp and Kessel, but Ryan Kessler is probably one of the best two-way players in the game, and that's something that really sticks out to me about this U.S. team. There aren't a lot of pure snipers. Every single one of these players has a good, solid two-way game, and that's, to me, that just sticks out to me. And that's something that probably can't be said about their defensive group. Personally, I think their defensive group has too many stay-at-home guys, and that's something that I don't think will translate very well to the you know, the Olympic, the longer ice sheet. And I guess I'm also a little bitter because they snubbed my own Coyotes homeboy Keith Yandle. He's a guy that probably would have been a good solid player on that team. And you know, Dustin Byfuglien is a guy in a similar situation who, you know, an offensive type defenseman who could be a spark plug, and with an extra sheet of ice, that could have really benefited. But you know, again, we've got our line right now. So how are, you know, just starting with you, Mr. Wallace, how are you feeling about this defensive group, and do you think that it can, you know, just kind of hold up to some of these other just star-studded rosters?
Yeah, I don't know if the size is all there. I don't think it's necessarily the biggest group that you could possibly pull out of. You mentioned some snubs a little bit, but I really like Cam Fowler and Shattenkirk. Those are my two guys. I'd like to see them on a line together. I'm really interested to see how they'd play. Obviously, Ryan Suter is well known by most people. And another guy to keep an eye on is Brooks Orpik. I think Brooks Orpik is a very talented defensive player.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Cam Fowler. I'm a big Cam Fowler fan down in Anaheim. He's very, very good. He's a youngster for them on their blue line. But look out for Paul Martin and Brooks Orpik. They play together on the same line in Pittsburgh. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the head coach of the Penguins being the U.S. coach, you know, they're probably, you know, locked to be on the same line together. You know, Justin Falk is a great player for Carolina. And John Carlson, you know, there's a little bit of question marks about him making the roster, like Seth said, over, you know, possibly Keith Yandle, Dustin Byfuglien, or even Jack Johnson, who was on the team in 2010.
He was very solid on the team in 2010 too. I think he led the defenseman in points for that tournament. I don't have that number in front of me, but I do remember that Jack Johnson was a particularly good player in the Vancouver Olympics. I don't think it'll bite them, because again, these are all very talented players, and and the pairings are a little shaky, but you know,
yeah.
you know, a guy like Ryan Suter can play with anyone.
True.
A guy like Brooks Orpik could probably play with anyone. Shattenkirk can play with anyone. You know, talented players, I feel, play well with other talented players. Yeah. That might not be exactly how it works, but that's how I think it works, and that's better be how it works, because that's how I build my NHL rosters in NHL 2K12 and stuff.
When I build my NHL rosters, I like to pair young players. That's kind of why I mentioned that Fowler Shattenkirk pairing, and that's kind of like a dream for me. You know, I never really imagined those two would be able to play on the same ice. Obviously, I think that the Ducks will probably lock him up for a while, and Blues don't let defensemen go, as has been evidenced by Barrett Jackman playing pretty much most of his career there.
And Brewer, too. Brewer was a Blue for a while.
Eric Brewer, yes.
Matt, you know, with the last position, you know, we've kind of talked about the forwards, we talked about the defensemen. The last one is probably the one that's most in flux coming in. I don't think we know who the starter is in U.S. for goaltending. I'm not sure if they've announced Quick yet. But either way, there's a talented stable with Jimmy Howard, Jonathan Quick, and Ryan Miller. You know, each of them are good in their own right. I guess you could make the argument that, you know, some are more successful in this season than, you know, I think that Ryan Miller's having a down season. Quick's having a down season.
Big time.
Injuries.
Howard's been hurt. So, really, you know, these are all guys that have that name recognition. But, you know, we'll start with you, Mr. Clare. Who's starting in net? I mean, who distinguishes themselves to you?
You know, I probably can't answer that right now either. You know, I've heard speculation, Ryan Miller, Jonathan Quick. You know, I've kind of heard the name Jimmy Howard as that third spot, as the, you know, the backup. And that's what Jonathan Quick was in 2010. You know, Jonathan Quick has been hurt. You know, he was out from November to early January, so you don't know how he's been doing. You know, Miller's getting old, but then again, Miller's awesome in the playoffs, and obviously he won the MVP of the Olympic tournament in 2010. You know, if it wasn't for Sidney Crosby, we'd be
OT breakaway.
Well, like, right before it, Joe Pavelski almost had the golden goal. Not a lot of people remember that. But to me, I think it's going to come down to either Ryan Miller or Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, I'm going Ryan Miller. I just think that it's a solid pick. There's really nothing wrong with it. And as we've mentioned, Andrew, you did a great job hitting on all the reasons why Quick isn't going to be in goal. Primarily injury, but his numbers are down, and it's not just the numbers that are down. I think there's something going on in his head this season. I think that he's just used to being at such a high level that when he steps on the ice and he's not quite there, whether it be because of something he can't control, it messes with him. And just to really quickly hit on some numbers for him, his save percentage is down. He's 30th in the league. He's 91%, and he's only 16-13 for a very elite Kings team. I mean, the Kings haven't been as good in regular season as they normally are. But at the same time, I think that that's one of the reasons why, is because something's inside his head. And I don't think that should translate to the Olympic game, because obviously superior talent, superior roster. But I'm going Ryan Miller just because it's more of the safer bet, solid bet. He's been there. He's done that.
See, most of the projections I've seen have Quick being the starter. And I'm with you. I think it's Ryan Miller's job. Ryan Miller always kills it on international ice. If you were to look at his numbers on international ice, he is, you know, there's him in Buffalo, and then there's him there. And he's a different goalie completely. You know, something about that U.S., you know, those Star-Spangled Banner on his jersey just gets him going. And even his stats, while they're down, you like to, you know, you look at that high goals against average, it's almost 2.8.
Yeah.
He's doing very solid considering the circumstance surrounding him at Buffalo. He is, you know, it's in the eye of the storm there, and he's just been solid and taking it very gracefully, you know, throughout. And, you know, and we kind of talked about him in the trade deadline. Is he going to stay there in Buffalo? Well, wherever Ryan Miller goes, he's going to have success, and that includes Sochi. And so before we go to the other side of the break, I'm sorry.
One thing real quick, for I got your Olympic numbers for Ryan Miller. 94% save percentage, and he's only allowed 8 goals in the 2010 Olympics. So
I don't know if y'all are good with numbers, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, see, hey, look, you know, you got my back here. But before we go to the other side of the break, I think we should talk about, just kind of break down some of the games the USA has coming up. You know, they have their first three games in their group. So their group includes Slovakia, Russia, and Slovenia, and they play them in that order. So before we go to the break, I just kind of want to kind of want to talk about those matchups a little bit, or at least make what assertions we can about it. So we'll start with the Slovakia USA matchup. Mr. Clare, what do you see happening there?
You know, Slovakia is a good team. They have a lot of great talent. Zdeno Chara, the captain of the Boston Bruins, is the captain in for Slovakia. But, you know, it's not going to be as easy as it seems. You know, they have a lot of great NHL talent. They have, you know, the Hossa brothers on that team. They have Yaroslav Halak from the Blues. Yeah, always great in the playoffs. He's been, you know, remember 2010 for the Canadiens, you know, he got them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Chara actually carrying his flag for his country in the Olympic opening ceremony.
Yeah, that's pretty special. You have a veteran in Michael Hanzus. You know, just Marin Gaborik is hurt, so we'll see what happens. But I like this team. You know, I think, you know, if they get on a hot streak, they could possibly get out of the pool. But, you know, it's going to be tough with Russia and the U.S.
Zdeno Chara carrying his flag, that's probably one of the scariest things. You can see a 6'9 man just carrying that flag.
Yeah, 7 foot in skates.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's intimidating. Yeah, I think the injury is definitely the only negative thing for Slovakia in terms of Gaborik, and I think that's more of a depth issue. I think that's just going to be something that kind of haunts them down the line. And yeah, Andrew, very thorough. I don't have much to add on that.
Yeah, and then that Slovakia is the team that has, you know, they have their share of good players, but the USA has their share and some. I don't think that this is really a legitimate threat to dethrone the USA. But I do think the next game is a legitimate threat, and that's when USA plays Russia. Russia is a tough team to really gauge just because they have so much KHL talent. Half of it's probably NHL, though, and the half that we know is pretty darn scary. With, you know, like we were saying, Datsyuk, Malkin, and you know, and Ovechkin. And Ovechkin is a guy who, if anyone is going to explode in front of his home crowd, it's him. You know, he grew up here. He was a star before he came to the NHL, and now this is his homecoming, if you will. And for whatever reason, I just think that the USA, this will be their toughest game all tournament, is this first Russia game. You know, and I guess the country, it's a national pride issue too. As much as I think, you know, Putin and Obama are kind of saying, oh yeah, no, we're buddies. Let's face it, I think that the USA and Russia just want to beat each other. You know, they don't really like each other all that much, and they just want to be better than them. So am I wrong in assuming that, Mr. Wallace?
No, I think that's a very fair statement. The Russian Olympics, the Olympics haven't been in Russia since the Moscow Olympics in the 80s, so it's been a long time since home ice has been a factor, and, you know, my passion for Olympic hockey is only superseded by the entire country of Russia's passion for it, and immensely superseded. Interesting dynamic for me with this schedule that we're talking about right now. Slovakia and Russia are very different teams, in my opinion. I think that you mentioned the speed of Russia. I don't think that Russia's defense is going to be able to add up. Well, I think the strength of that Slovakian team is its defense. I think that's what's going to really be able to push them forward. But for Russia, the one thing that really stands out for me, not comparing them to anybody else, is can Varlamov just stop everything without having too much help around him?
Well, and even if Varlamov doesn't, Bobrovsky probably can. Maybe outside of Finland, I think Russia has probably the two best goaltenders. Anything to add about Russia there, Andrew?
Yeah, I was going to make a point. You know, another guy that you said earlier, Andrew, Ilya Kovalchuk, another guy, Alexander Radulov. I'm excited to see what he has to bring to the table. You know, he played for the Nashville Predators, now in the KHL. And also, this kind of reminds me, this Russia team, this rivalry with the U.S. kind of reminds me of the U.S. and Canada in group
Women's.
Play. No, I'm just talking in 2010. Okay. You know, the U.S. was playing in Canada in the group play against Canada and beat them 5-3 on Canadian ice. You know, we'll see what happens against this Russian team on Russian ice.
Yeah, and that and like I said, we had Slovenia to that slate for the first three games for the U.S. in their group. There's not really much we can say about Slovenia. There's only one NHLer on the squad, and that's Anze Kopitar. The team is coached by his dad, though. Interesting NHL tie there. On the other side of the break, we'll talk Olympics. We'll keep talking Olympics, but from the injury angle, and that'll raise a very important question as whether or not the NHL will allow their players to play if this becomes a problem. But that's another Oprah show. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about it. You're listening to The Morning Skate.